So we have a society that doesn't always value and honor old age. How many of you in here are over 60? Is there a reason why I'm getting a whole lot of reverb? Let me see your hands. Nice and high. Over 60. Woo! Yeah. That's right. Give us a hand. Now I'm going to ask you, how many in here are 70 and older? 70 and older. All right, I'm going up. How many of you are 75 and older? How many of you are 80 and older? One, two. So there is value in age. There is value in our elders. And when we cease to honor them as a society, we will, that's one of the last nails in the coffin, if you will. It is important for us to honor each other. The Bible talks about honoring each other, but in particular, our elders. And so we're, the first scripture we're going to look at tonight, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Exodus 20 and 12 is a very familiar verse to you. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me ask you a really important question. What if your father or mother was not honorable? What if you were raised in an abusive home? What if you had parents who neglected you or were abusive to you? Does that scripture still stand? All right, somebody come to a microphone. Tell me why that scripture. If I was abused, how come I have to honor you? Yeah, right there.
Simply because it's the Word of God.
Okay, good. It's the Word of God. There isn't any clauses in there, except for, unless. What does honoring your father and mother do for you? It gives you a long life. It's a promise of Scripture. Go ahead, Stephanie.
The word honor means great respect. So you can have respect for somebody who has done you wrong, and you can show respect because that's what God wants you to do. He wants, you know, to be Christ-like. As Christians, that's what we are supposed to be. So you can respect somebody whether you agree with them or not. You can respect somebody whether they've done you wrong or not. And so honoring them is basically giving them higher respect, whether they've done you wrong or not.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Because we live in a society that says, if you do this to me, I get to do this to you. And we have a myriad of people who were loved to bring up all the wrongs of their childhood, right? I have this wrong with me because my mom did this. I have this wrong with me because my dad did this. I was raised like this, therefore I can't help what I do. And we live in a society like that. And here's the thing. Nobody is dismissing that if you were raised in an abusive home. Nobody dismisses that. Nobody acts like that. That's no big deal. But as the brother said, if the word says it, then I'm going to do it. But what happened, God does, is he attaches blessing to my obedience. Not the actions of my parents, but he attaches blessing to my obedience. Therefore, when I obey his word, there is blessing attached to it. And so I'm going to honor his word. Amen. The second scripture we're going to look at this evening is 1 Corinthians 16:14. It says, let all your things be done with charity. Everything you do, charity is another word for love, but it's deeper than I love you. It's an action word. It's a showing word. I'm going to show you that I love you. I'm going to show you that I care about you by the action that I take. So here we're saying that there is an action to be done to elders in our midst. But again, in my lifetime and in my family, in my family history, I have a whole lot of elders who are respectable. My mother gained honor because she earned it. People in my life who were elders earned my respect because of their faithfulness, because of the holy life that they lived, because how they treated me and how they treated others. They earned my respect because of the life that they lived. But let's face it, we are facing a generation of elders in their 60s, 70s, who went through Woodstock. Isn't that amazing? Those were the hippies, and now they're grandparents and they're elders, and they were hippies, and they did a whole lot of stuff that wasn't honorable. And we have a whole generation of elders that look like that. And we have to understand and know and see what God wants us to do now in this generation that we live in. Sister Alicia.
When I think of the word honor, I often think of value. Mm. And I think that makes more sense when someone hasn't done something that's honorable. You can still find value.
Yes.
In who they are, and specifically in the soul mm-hmm. that they have. And so when we remember that God valued us even before we deserved it, it's easier to learn to love and to value others right. even if they don't deserve it.
Go ahead, Sister Lucia.
And I think, too, the greatest commandment being you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. We were created by love, right? Because God is love, for love. And so I think that relationship, to be able to even honor our parents, we have to honor God first to even understand what honor is. And that comes through that relationship with the Lord.
Well, there's no escape. There's no way to run away from the scripture when it talks about honoring our parents. Because let's say I do not consider that person my father because he never took that position. So my father is my stepfather. Mm. There's a lot of people in that position.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what does the Bible say? It says to love your enemies. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So even if you consider that person who biologically conceived you, your enemy, you still have to love that person.
Yes, amen.
There's no way.
Amen.
And hating a person who did wrong to us, whoever that is pretty much like taking poison thinking that that person is going to die.
Yes, yes. That's so true. So true. And I like the word value because, again, in our society, we get rid of people, babies, old people, who we don't see of any value. And it is a slippery slope. Because once you decide one group of people doesn't have value, then the next group of people decide, oh, this group doesn't have value. And who is left out then? I mean, so let's say, so we're going to get rid of anybody of color. But then anybody of color can come around long and say, anybody who is blonde, we're going to get rid of them because they don't have value. And God says, every person born on this earth that I put breath in has value. Whether it's a child who's been born prematurely with excessive amounts of medical issues and who will never be a regular child, or that elder who's laying in a hospital bed in a nursing home, 98 years old, and can't see and can't hear and can't communicate with you. And to some, what is the value of that person? God says there is value. And again, we're going to go back to the Word of God and say, if the Word says it, then that is what we adhere to in this day and age, and not what we see and think and what society dictates to us to think. So every person, from the youngest to the oldest, has value. Amen? And if for no other reason than to teach children that they should give to somebody who can't give back to them. This last Sunday, we went to the nursing home. It was precious. And a couple of people said to us, we haven't had communion in a long time. And we started to sing, and there's a little lady in the corner, and when she got to that page, man, she was ready to sing. She wasn't waiting on us. She just started singing. And it was a beautiful service. But the value of that is that when you give to somebody who cannot give back to you, there, especially for children, to teach children that is just priceless. And we need to continue to teach our children the value of our elders. Amen? All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that it is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Grandmas and grandpas, don't ever think that your words and what you do in front of your grandchildren is not important. Don't ever think it. Maybe your grandkids don't listen to you anymore. Maybe they don't come around like they used to. Maybe they're waving at you as they go by, and they're going to go to work, or they're going to go on a date, or they're going to whatever they do. Don't ever think that your words aren't valuable, that your prayers aren't valuable. My mother had a wall in her house, and she would put grandkids and kids' pictures on it. And as she passed it, she prayed. And many a time, there were people that would have not been here in this world had my mother not have prayed. There is value in your prayers and in your wisdom. Don't ever forget that.
I think, too, that people who are part of a church community, it's so important to pour into other children as well.
Yes.
And I remember as a young teenager, maybe 10 or 11, there was an older lady in our church that I didn't know her very well. I just knew her name. But she spoke words to me one Sunday morning that I have never forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so don't minimize your impact in the body of Christ. And these kids need you.
Yeah.
They need all of us. Mm-hmm.
They need a community of believers. Amen.
Speaking about grandma, we had, I was in a place where I wasn't supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I was in a rock and roll band, and I thought I was doing great things, and it was the most wonderful thing in the world. And I was telling my grandma about it. And she looked me right in the face and says, "Well, I hope it fails." And then she prefaced that with, "You know where you need to be." So those words of encouragement and reprimand, we were talking about when my parents and I was not in a place where I should have been, and mom and dad would just not speak to me as far as preach to me or anything like that, because they knew exactly where I needed to be, and would talk to me and say, not beat me over the head with it, but at the same time, talk to me in a way that you know where you need to be. And I think that those words of encouragement, and I run into Sister Peggy. You were talking about Sister Peggy. I had gone over to her house to help her with something when I was not saved. And she just, in her sweetest voice, you know where you need to be. And those words, when you're not a Christian, are words that are burning and hit you in the heart when you know that where you need to be.
Yeah.
And encourage that.
Amen. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Give you words of encouragement, words of love, and compassion. And when you see them, and when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, say those words. Pray for them when you think about them. And not only your own grandchildren, like Sister Alicia said, but kids in the church who come up in your heart and you think about them and just pray for them. Amen. We have a lot to give. It's so important that we remember that. It's so important. 1 Timothy 5:1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. I'm going to stop right there. So the scripture here gives it a very simple process about how we're supposed to treat each other. So the brothers and sisters are supposed to treat each other like brothers and sisters. And they're supposed to keep everything pure. You're supposed to treat your brother like a brother, your sister like a sister, with honor. You're supposed to treat the mothers in the church, the elders, elder women in the church, as mothers. So what does it mean? I'm going to ask Pastor. I'm going to have him tell me this. What does it mean to rebuke not an elder? Tell me what that means.
So the original word there actually refers to a beating or a chastisement.
Okay.
And so what the scripture is telling us is people have gained an eldership for a reason. Whether, if you look up the word elder in the passage also, you see that it can mean just a person's age, or can also mean a place of stature. So that we are fully aware that there are people who are considered elders in the church because of special giftings that God's given them, or understandings and grace that's upon their life because they lead well. Mm-hmm. So they're an elder. Then there's some people that are elders because of their age as well. And they lead well also because of life experience. So I think it's important not to run to extremes with this scripture. There's some that almost blow it off like it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's in scripture. There are others that want to rule it with an iron fist and say, you can't say anything to an elder. That's not what it's saying either. It's saying here that we should not chastise. We should not abuse with our words, is another definition of it. And so it's not that we can't ask questions. It's not that we can't have discussions. We learn from those. We reason together. That's what God has told us to do in Scripture. But when people are in elder status, those that are younger than them, under them, they should be very mindful of words they choose when they're talking to them and when they're talking about them. And I think that's when you opened up tonight and begin to talk about, you know, some things that seem to be the norm in our generation. That is something that we're lacking everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so as one of the younger people in the room, probably, that's an assumption on my part, but it's probably a good assumption. Let me just say this to you, that our elders, be patient. Be loving and be kind. because it's not because you're old they're treating you that way. It's because they haven't been taught any better, and they treat everyone that way.
Right.
It's not just older people or, you know, they're making a rude comment to you based on where you live or where your circumstance is, but they're going to make a rude comment to me as well.
Right.
And they're going to make a rude comment to a child as well, because they don't know how to be anything but rude.
Right.
Because this is the me generation.
Right.
And if you are doing something that's bothering me, then you're supposed to stop that. And so it's just, it's unfortunate. But the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has the ability to turn that around.
Amen.
And as, you know, one of our core values is honor. That's our very first core value in this church. We're going to honor everyone because everyone is a living soul that Jesus Christ died for. So they have value. They have worth. Jesus died for them.
Amen.
And that word honor actually means to be weighty. And so I just want to say this. Those of us that are younger, we need to study to be quiet. Hear first, speak later. Because elders' words are weighty. They have experience. They've been there. Don't assume, well, it's 2023. They don't. No. They have life experience. We need to shut our mouth and hear what they have to say, because they carry weight with that. If you're an elder and you think that, well, they don't want to hear what I have to say. Yes, we do. We want to hear what you have to say.
Amen.
Even if they're being rude about it. Like Jim was saying, he didn't want to hear Grandma tell him, well, I hope that fails. You know what I mean? But at the same time, he knew he needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. So we want to hear it even when we don't want to hear it. Amen. So speak up. Your words are weighty.
Amen. We often talk in Finishing Well Bible study on Thursday mornings about how we speak and how we ought to speak as elders. And it's important for us to understand how we're supposed to navigate this place that we're in correctly, in a way that is correct, so that the young people around us know that we love them and we're rooting for them. And we may not like their music, and we may not like their computer stuff, and we may not like all the stuff that they throw at us all the time, but it's okay. We can handle it. Because it's important for us that we honor each other. And elders in the room, it is your responsibility to honor the younger. And I know we're talking about honoring old people, but folks, older folks can be grouchy and mean-faced. And, you know, kids screaming and you have this face and you turn around when it, you know. And sometimes you don't. Here's the thing about growing older. Your face changes, and sometimes you look grouchy, but you're just trying to figure something out. So you're like this. My daughter constantly says, Mom, your face, Mom. Because you're just trying to, either you can't hear or you can't figure out what's going on. And you have this face, and it doesn't always mean that you're mad. It's just you're just trying to figure stuff out. And in practical terms, just let me give you some advice, because I've been in elder care for over 20 years, and so it is in my heart. And so when you have somebody who can't hear, yelling louder doesn't help. Grandma, I said, it doesn't help. So if you have an elder in your life who has difficulty hearing, stand in front of them and enunciate your words. Don't go, Mom, you want to go out to eat today? I didn't hear that. I didn't know what you said. So I'll ask like five times. Go ahead, Brother Wayne.
The word faith is very important. And the Bible relates it like the story of the centurion, who Jesus remarked and said, I've not seen such great faith,
yes.
No, not in Israel. It's because he understood authority, and he respected authority. And what he was saying is, like, Jesus, you're the man, you know.
Right.
And so this relates to our relationship with our honoring our father and our mother. You know, we all want love, don't
right.
we? Everybody wants to be loved. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want love, you need to learn how to give it. Mm-hmm. That's a law, right?
Yeah.
We reap what we sow. Now, sometimes our problem is that we look the long place to reap it. Mm-hmm. Whenever we sow, we ought to do it unto God,
Amen.
And He will
yes.
see that we're loved there.
Amen.
So let me try to share this briefly. There's a warning in the Bible. It's in the Proverbs, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it. It's like, if you don't obey the authority you're now under, let's liken that authority to being a ruler, mm-hmm. a stick.
Yeah.
He will send another person with a club.
Yeah, right, right.
And I learned that mm-hmm. The hard way. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful to God for a wife, Daylene. I would overhear her and telling the children to respect me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a real...
Yeah.
You know, unless the parents are together,
yes.
unless they're in agreement,
Amen.
There's an opening there for the devil
Amen.
To make hay.
Amen.
And so, anyway, good to be back home.
Good to have you, Brother Wayne. Well, there's an old saying that says, respect breeds respect, and disrespect breeds disrespect. So if you want your children to be respectful, then be respectful. It's pretty simple. Amen. So let's go on here. Some practical things here. It says, now honor the widows that are widows indeed. Does somebody have another translation to tell me what that says? What does a widow indeed mean? Brother Jesse.
This is the New Living Translation, and it says, take care of any widow who has no one else to take care of her.
Right. When there is a woman who has no one else to take care of them. Notes, and we, as you know, and Pastor has taught this before, about the kinsman redeemer, Jewish law helped take care of the widows. So if her husband died, her sons would take care of her, or her brother-in-law, or somebody in the family took care of her. But if she is a widow and there is no one to take care of her, then it is the church's responsibility then to take care of her. It is the family of God to make sure that she is okay. She is a widow indeed. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, meaning she's also going to trust God. How many know that God is faithful? God is good. If we have time, I'm going to share Sister Linda's story, because she had me on the phone. She was worshiping God because God has been good to her, and it's because she's believed God. And she prayed night and day. And God came through like he always does, and like she knew he would. And so so we're also supposed to seek God when we're widows indeed. When we have nobody to take care of us, we're going to look to God. We're going to call on his name and ask him to help us. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. What does that verse mean? The King James says taken in. What is another word for that? Somebody else got one? What does that mean? Taken in. Let not a widow under 80, which is 60 years old, Don't let her be taken. She doesn't need to be taken in. Or, in other words, taken care of. Why do you think that is? Pardon? They were young enough to be married again or work or take care of themselves. So you, what the scripture's saying here is that you're not supposed to just hand out stuff to everybody who need, you know, says they need it. You're supposed to honor everybody, but in those widows who are widows indeed, we're supposed to take care of them when they have no other recourse. When they're too old to work, when they have no other family to take care of them, then the body of Christ needs to make sure that that widow is taken care of, that someone is watching out for her or for her. And that's what the scripture means here. She's able to work, or she's able to get married again, or she has options under 60 years old. Now they're making us work till 66, so hey. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, verse 10, if she have lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So I'm still not really sure why the list is there. Pastor, why is the list there? If we're not supposed to take care of her, why do they give us a list? And I was going to look that up today, and I didn't have time. So in the beginning it says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, meaning we don't have to take care of her. But then they give her this list. So what's the, if she's been a wife to one husband, if she's did good works, if she's brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she washed saints' feet, if she's seen to the afflicted, if she's diligently followed every good work, why are they listing that, brother?
This is one of the things the Apostle Paul would do sometimes in his writings. Like, remember when he shared about how the deacons and the elders should be without reproach, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, he comes up with a list of things just explaining what he means by being without reproach. Okay. So this is another time where the Pauline literature uses the same technique, okay, where he displays something that is the base and the core of his thought, and then he comes up with a list of things explaining what he meant before. The reason I know that is because if you keep reading, he almost goes back to the first statement.
Okay.
So.
All right. Good. Thank you, brother.
So I completely agree with that. He's just using these as an example of what he means by a good report,
right,
a woman of good report. Okay. But verse 11 is not in our literature there, but this is the English Standard Version. It says, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry.
Right.
And so that kind of gives further explanation,
right,
of the age limit and what,
right,
he's trying to come across is, you know, younger ladies are going to want to probably get remarried, possibly.
Right.
And plus, if here's another thing, if they're younger, they may have children well capable of taking care of them,
right,
or different things. So what Paul's trying to do is he's trying to establish the different dynamics,
right,
of the possibilities that happen within a church and what are the expectations of a church. And so, just to kind of add to what Pastor Darius was sharing with us, there is another thing we have to understand is we cannot view the Pauline epistles or these sections of it when he starts making lists. We can't view them like the Old Testament law.
Right. Right.
He's writing these things out, giving us description of things, but our job as the saints of God is to hear the heart of God,
right,
and hear the spirit of what is being said in the scripture, not the letter of the law, And what we do sometimes is because it's simpler to just make a list, check it twice,
right,
and oh, we're good to go.
Yeah.
That makes it simple. No. It's a base, it's a case by case basis. Right. We need to look at people's lives. We need to understand, and that's what he's trying to get across here, is some people become widowed and they don't need to be taken in by the church.
Right.
But some people are widowed and they do.
Right.
And if their heart is after God and they're there to serve God, then bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of them.
Right.
Feed them. Clothe them. Make sure there's a roof over their head and let them serve in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Let them be a servant in this church, helping any way they can, washing people's feet, mm-hmm. taking care of, watching over children, doing those types of things. I'm reminded of Anna, which is an Old Testament concept, but she was there fasting and praying all the time, and she was one that prophesied and proclaimed, this is the Messiah, when he came to the temple. And so we have to make sure we're hearing the heart of the matter.
Amen.
Paul's trying to give explanation as an apostolic leader of the church of how churches should organize and structure themselves.
Right.
He's not giving a list of rule by rule by rule.
Well, you didn't meet this one. So
yeah, he's saying, no, hear my heart, use some common sense, and take care of people.
And that's what I like about these scriptures, is that it does see us as a community of believers, a family. It's about communication, it's about community, it's about meeting each other's needs as we ought to. And as Pastor said, and it's the intent of the heart why we're doing it. Not because, well, we oughta, but because that's God's heart. And we love each other, and we're concerned for each other's needs, and that's the heart. And that's what a family should be, and that's why we need to honor each other. Because that's what we do. We honor every single person, whether they're old, whether they're young, whether they're Black, whether they're white, whether they're disabled or healthy. We're going to honor every single person who comes into the house because that's what God tells us to do. Amen? Amen. The last few scriptures we're going to read are, we're going to talk about the end of your life and what you have to show for and what you want somebody else to come along behind you with. And so 2 Timothy 4:6, this is Paul writing to Timothy. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. I want to leave this world. There's an old song that Sister Yonley used to sing. Don't leave, let me leave with an unfinished task. Let me do what I got to do all the way till I take my last breath. Let me finish well. I don't want to leave this world dragging. Even if, you know, I'm elderly and I'm weak and... But you know what? You've seen people, and in their spirit, they're as strong as they've ever been. And I want to leave this world running toward the gate. I don't want to leave this world complaining and griping and sad and discouraged. I want to leave this world full of faith, knowing that I'm going to see Jesus. Knowing that my race is run and I haven't been perfect, but thank you, Jesus, for your grace. My mother, in one of her last days, kept saying, there's a man standing in the corner. Who's that man standing in the corner? I said, are you afraid, Mom? She said, no. He's handsome, she said. I said, well, maybe it's an angel ready to take you home. She went, okay, that's good. And in another moment, there were days when she was not verbal, and she would sound garbly. And one night I was sleeping in the chair next to her bed, and I had my eyes closed, and you know how you sense somebody's looking at you, and I opened my eyes, and I turned, and she was looking right at me. And she said, "Betty, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, Mom." She said, "You're going to be okay." And I grabbed those words, and I held them to my heart. Let me leave this world in such a way that people are going, "Wow, I want to go out of here shouting. I don't want to go out of here complaining and crying and weeping and sad, because Jesus has been good to me. Jesus has blessed me when I didn't deserve to be blessed, and he has been good to me. And he has been my rock. And those areas in my life that were so wounded and torn up and could have destroyed me, he reached way, way down, as the old song says, and he picked me up, and he mended me, and he took all of those things that were wounded, and he healed me. And he's been good to me. And I don't have any reason to complain or be sad about anything, because God is good. And I want to tell, when I leave this race, I want to say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is now a crown of life waiting for me. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Wayne.
Something you said that triggered something in my heart. One of the things that my parents taught me as a child growing up that I didn't put into practice until after I surrendered my life to the Lord was keep a good conscience.
Yeah.
And make things right. They taught by the way they lived and talked.
Yeah.
And several years ago, by the way, some of you know this, the wonderful man of God, Jack Hayford, recently passed away. Years ago, I was listening to a tape message by him. He was talking about the relationship between authority figures in our lives, whether parents or pastors, ministers, and he was speaking to a large group of ministers, pastors, and he gave a word. And he gave it with such thoughtfulness and compassion that it did something to me. He said, "There's probably 60% of the people in this audience that have unresolved conflicts between you and as an authority figure in your life." Mm. And beat your, you know, your father, mother, whatever. So when he said that, in a millisecond, I saw a video. And the Lord showed me something between myself and another minister who was over me in the Lord. And he had, you know, the scripture says, if you're going to rebuke, do it with all long suffering.
Yes.
And doctrine. Well, he just rebuked, and it wounded me deeply, and I didn't fully realize, you know, and I actually viewed that man in my mind ever since then as an enemy, but the Lord showed me, you know, it's one of those things. Well, what they did to me was 95%, and mine was only 5%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the Lord said, "You deal with the 5%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I prepared my heart. I hadn't spoken to the man in 8 years. And I called him, and I simply addressed him, and I said, "God has shown me where I was wrong. And I shared from the depth of my heart what God showed me about a wrong attitude and mm-hmm. and so on. And I asked him, I said, would you forgive me? And he said, his voice was calm, and he said, oh, that's all right, Wayne. And I said, no, it's not all right. I need you to mm-hmm. forgive me. And he did. Mm-hmm. And I went from a position of resenting, fearful of the man, to a point of God fill my heart yes. with supernatural love mm-hmm. for him, for yeah. that man. If he had yeah. been close by, I would have hugged him.
Yeah.
So, keep clear
yes.
books. Mm-hmm. Keep clear conscience.
Yeah.
And one other thing I want to say. Honor is not a matter of convenience. Show and honor.
Right.
The word honor means to pay a price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, amen. Thank you for sharing that, brother. Last scriptures. The sons of the prophets, 2 Kings 2:5. That were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest that now that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, I love this. I know it. Hold your peace. Leave me alone. I know it. Because he was concentrated. He wanted to follow him. And Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Let's skip into 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And we know that Elijah left his mantle for Elisha. There is somebody that you're following or is following you, one or the other. And so we need to be very careful. The Bible talks about walking circumspectly, meaning very, very, very cautiously. Watch where you're walking. Watch what you're saying. Watch what you're doing. Be careful of the attitude, as Brother Wayne said, that you carry with you. Nobody graduates from the altar. When you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80, God shows you stuff all the time, and you say, oh, God, I don't want that in there. Get that out. Because somebody is watching what you're doing. And it's so important for us to understand the seriousness of what we do. The Lord is coming soon. And if we're going to do something for Jesus, we better be doing it now. What I appreciate about my pastors is they have a laser vision goals. They know where they're going. You better come follow them, because they're going to leave you in the dust if you don't. Not really. So if you think our pastors seem a little over the top sometimes, it's because they know Jesus is coming. And we have got a job to do, and we can't mess around anymore. We can't waste our time with things that don't matter. And if they're a weight to us, or if they're wasting our time, we get rid of them. Programs and the way we used to do things and things we ought to do. If it wastes our time, we don't have time to waste. Lay it aside. Let's go. Let's go. We got to, there's stuff to do. I teach the preschool class when I'm not in here, and I love those little critters. Shoo. But our theme for our room, we are Engine 36. Engine Room 36. And we're raring to go for Jesus. And our theme is that we are training to love God and love others. That's what we're going to do in that class. And more than ever before, I've understood the enormity of what I do. And that the Word of God is placed in my hands to serve to a 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 year old. And I got to do it right, ladies and gentlemen. I got to do it right. Because I don't have any time to waste. There's somebody following me. There's somebody following you. And it's very important that we leave the mantle of the Lord correctly. Because when you handle the Word of God, it's a big deal. Often today, as I was working on the room in there, I said, God, don't let me mess this up. Don't let me do it incorrectly. Don't let me say words that aren't supposed to be said. And don't let me eliminate words that should be said. Let me reveal Jesus Christ correctly to a 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 year old. Let me do it correctly because it's important. I'm so glad that there were people in my life who showed me the direction I ought to go. And they were not perfect, but they were faithful and they loved Jesus with their whole heart. I remember Sister Madeline. Debbie would not go to Sunday school, and I would take her back, and she'd scream bloody murder, and I'd bring her back to the sanctuary. And one Sunday morning, she was about 3 and a half, 4 years old, and Sister Madeline taught the little ones, and she walked up, and she stopped at our seat, and she held out her hand, and she said, "Come on, young lady," to Debbie. And that little girl, who was always, she's always surprised us from the moment she was born, put her little hand in Sister Madeline's hand and walked with her to Sunday school. And went ever since that day. Sister Madeline would put her hand out and Debbie put her hand in her hand and walked back to Sunday school. There's somebody following you. So I'm going to share Sister Linda's story. Can I share it, Linda? I'm going to share it. She knows me. This is my older sister. She's had some physical problems. And she was a little worried about them. And yet some of you prayed for her, and she hasn't felt well. Well, she found out that it wasn't as bad as what she had thought it was. And God is good. And she's taken some medication. And they told her, take all the medication. Because she's not a medicine taker. She has faith in God, and she knows that God heals. God does heal. But she's had some financial difficulty that she hasn't really shared with anyone. And God has just almost halved her bills. Half. Her bills have gone down half. You know why that is? Because she kept declaring it. She'd say to me, God is going to meet my need. God is going to meet my need. Sister Tricia, you were right on the money when you prayed for her Sunday morning. Exactly what God, the doctor, told her. God is good, amen? And that lady back there has been a lady full of faith and faithful. And she had to help raise my kids because she would have to redo what I did most of the time. She was my second mother. God is faithful. God, there's somebody following you. Somebody's listening to you. Somebody's watching you. It's so important that we pay attention to that in the day and age in which we live. Amen? Amen. I just want to tell you, and I want to do a plug for Finishing Well Bible Study. We're going to start a series called Wholeness in Christ. And we're going to talk about how that God can heal you our main scripture is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're going to talk about how that when we give God everything, he helps in every single area of our life. The other morning when Sister Alicia prayed for the elders, she said the words, give them strength to their bones. It was prophetic. It was prophetic. Give them strength to their bones. God, let us raise up a generation of elders who are full of faith, full of power, full of the Spirit of God, who are walking in this world and speaking into our grandkids' life and our great-grandkids' life without fear, that we're going to tell them the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Jimmy.
Couple of comments from Facebook. Timothy's ancestors taught him reverence and faithfulness. Sandy Spittler said, forgiveness is for ourselves, even if the person or people have passed away. And you need to forgive others so that you can have peace about the circumstances that have happened. Hard lesson learned.
Amen. Amen. That's good. God can give you forgiveness even if those people have passed away. That's good. And as Brother Wayne said, it's supernatural. You don't do it on your own. God does it for you. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Anybody else before I speak in quite a lengthy tonight? So anybody else? Let me just, a couple of things. The brother talked about nursing homes. And the nursing home way of life is actually a dying breed. It's becoming less and less. There's less and less people bringing their parents to the nursing home. They struggle with having a full beds. For one thing, it's excessively expensive. And second of all, they don't trust us. They don't trust you to take care of their parent. And I'm going to just be blunt and say rightly so sometimes. But let me just encourage you just a minute for this day and age in which we live. If you have a parent that needs to go to a nursing home and you can't take care of them, you can't physically take care of them, or you have to work and there's nothing else you can do, you need to let God take care of it. You need to give it to Jesus, because it's a hard place to be when you don't want to put them there, but you don't have a choice. Either you can't physically take care of them, or you don't have the means or the financial ability to do anything else. God is going to take care of your parent in the last days of their life. He's going to take care of them. And God, Brother Andy, give us that word.
So forgiveness for me is easiest for me to understand. Forgiveness is when the whole world, me included, especially me, when we did Jesus wrong and he was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when we have the understanding of whether it be my sister in Christ, my mom, my brother in Christ, whoever it is, if they do me wrong, and I understand that because they didn't know what they were doing, I was able to forgive them.
Yes,
and that goes for myself too, because the truth is I am able to forgive myself because
right.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So therefore,
mm-hmm.
you know. So.
Amen. That's good. Sister Tricia.
So this has really been pressed on my heart the last couple of days, and it's Psalm 46. And I know everyone knows this very well, but it says, come behold, and this is the English Standard Version, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. But this is the part that I think that we really need to embrace in this time that we are. And it's be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And he's really been pressing that into me, because we live in a world where there's so much going on right now, But if we just stand still and exalt him and lift him high, that's what we'll hear. That's the voice we'll hear, and he will fight our battles for us.
Amen. Lord of hosts, you are with us. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave you out. Anybody else got something, Nate, before we are dismissed? Let's just do a quick word of prayer before we go home, okay? Father, we're grateful for your mercy and your grace to us. We thank you, God, for your presence that we have felt in this place. We thank you, God, for the body of Christ that has shared their hearts with us. And we pray, God, that you would move, God, in a great way in us, Lord. Help us to understand how important it is to walk in faith all the way to the end. Help us to understand that someone is following us. Help us to understand that you are with us and we don't have to be afraid of anything. We thank you, God, for what the work that you're doing in us. We pray that you would continue to do it, Lord. Help us to treat each other with honor, Lord, as you have declared for us to. And we thank you, God, that you are causing us to be more and more and more in love with each other. We thank you, God, that you are building a community of believers that understands your word. Bless those who are sick in our midst, Lord, and those who are struggling, God, and those who have trials, God, those, God, who have been in the hospital. We pray for them, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you have already accomplished, and we will believe you for more in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.